Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Before we get started, I want to remind you that the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio t-shirts will be back. Starting on Memorial Day, you can get your Great Detectives of Old Time Radio t-shirt. So be looking for that shortly. All right, well, now it's time for today's episode of Rocky Fortune. Well, we have a lost episode between last week's episode and this week's. The original air date on this one is December the 5th of 1948, and this one is Strangers 3.
Time now for Rocky Jordan.
I'm always suspicious of a man, even in Cairo, who wants to play hide-and-seek. Especially when he's a total stranger. Well, this fellow in a felt hat and tweeds had been shadowing me for too long. So finally, around 10 o'clock, I left the Café Tambourine, figuring that before the night was over, my shadow and I would be properly introduced. But before it was over, I met a lot of people. Living and dead.
Again, we bring you a story of adventure with Rocky Jordan, proprietor of the Café Tambourine, which stands in a narrow street off Cairo's native quarter within sight of the Mosque Sultan Hassan. The Café Tambourine, crowded with forgotten men from the world's waterfronts, alive with the babble of many languages. Now, Rocky Jordan, and tonight's story, Strangers 3.
I made a dry run down the boulevard Barkil, and sure enough, a stranger in felt hat and tweeds was still following me. I headed south, away from the crowds. He was right behind me like the back hump on a camel. I picked a nice dark alley for our meeting and faded into a doorway. I didn't have to wait long. As he came by, I grabbed for him.
Mr. Jordan, stop it.
Who are you? What do you want?
Take your hands off me, Mr. Jordan.
You've been tailing me all day. Why?
Only for an opportunity to talk with you. This is a very personal matter.
From the top of the page, mister, and start with your name.
Feder Brahms.
I'm delighted. Just what do you want?
After I explain, you will understand why I did not wish to show myself. You see, I knew you were a good friend of Angus Morgan.
Angus Morgan?
You and he were once partners in Istanbul, I believe.
Well, what about it?
Mr. Jordan, I've been trailing him for over a month.
Well, then stick to him. Why trail me?
A short time ago, I lost him. But I have reason to believe he is now in Cairo. At first, I hoped that you would unwittingly lead me to his hiding place. Perhaps even your Café Tambourine.
Want to stay with that story or try another one?
Mr. Jordan, would $500 be a decent sum for Angus Morgan's address?
You can have it for free. Angus Morgan's been dead for 3 months. Now you take it from there.
$1,000, then?
Look, I'll play it once more. Angus Morgan is dead.
Not dead, my friend, but very much alive.
All right, let's say I buy your story for the moment. Why is Angus's address worth all that dough?
You are very cute, Mr. Jordan. Well?
You have the dough with you?
Certainly not. This is hardly the place for a financial transaction. Shall we say your cafe in 2 hours?
Let's say that.
I'll have the money there. You will carry out your part of the bargain?
I didn't make a bargain.
I think you will. In 2 hours, Mr. Jordan, at the Tambourine.
I watched Brahms fade off up the street and then detoured by way of the Cairo News Gazette. It was true, Angus Morgan and I had once been partners in Istanbul. Only Feder made one mistake. Angus and I were not friends, not even poor ones. Angus had double-crossed me and run out, owing me $15,000. If Angus was alive, only one thing interested me. My 15 grand. It took some fast talk and 20 piastres to get me into the newspaper morgue that time of night. But from then on, the night clerk was cooperative.
And what was that name again?
Morgan. Angus Morgan.
Yeah. Moody, Moose. You know, I wouldn't mind this night job if it wasn't for my wife. You married?
No. There was a story in the paper about his death about 3 months ago.
Don't ever get married, not if you work nights. What'd you say that name was? Morris?
No, Morgan.
Now, take my wife. Always wants to know what happened.
That's the one I want right there.
No, that's Morgan, Angus Morgan.
Give it to me.
Okay. What can I say to her? She wouldn't believe me anyhow.
Angus Morgan, killed in mysterious explosion, salvaging operation off coast of Ras El Had.
Yeah, and then she says, why can't an alert, energetic man like me get a day job?
Sure looks dead, all right.
She's just that way.
Huh?
My wife.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks for everything. Here, file this back under Rocky Jordan.
Sure. Good night, Mr. Morgan.
I decided to make one more call before keeping my date with Fader Brahms at the tambourine. The authorities seemed sure Angus Morgan was dead. But if he was alive and in Cairo, he was here for one reason. A reason named Sabina. She wasn't too much to look at now, but at one time she was the toast of Istanbul. These days she ran a Turkish bath near the Sharia El Mudafar. It was late, but her office door was open and the sign said, come in. So I did.
I can't believe it. When can I see him?
He's waiting at the Sharon Sanitarium.
Philip, wait.
Hello, Sabina. Did I interrupt something?
Rocky Jordan.
Yeah, we meet again, Sabina, like old times.
Don't tell me you want to lose weight.
No. There's enough hot air over at the Cafe Tambourine to keep me in shape. I'd like a word in private with you, Sabina, as soon as you're through here.
I
am in no hurry, Sabina. So suppose you go ahead and see what Mr. Jordan wants. I will wait for you.
Why, that's very kind of you, Mr. Tourney.
Yeah, thanks. We'll only be a minute.
Yes, Rocky?
Who's the overgrown Frenchman?
Oh, Mr. Tourney was arranging for me to give someone a massage at the sanatorium. Please, Rocky, what do you want?
Sabina, what do you hear from Angus Morgan?
Angus? What are you talking about? You know
I've got a hunch he's alive.
What kind of a cruel joke is this?
I got reasons for believing it.
Rocky, I know how you hated Angus for double-crossing you. What good can this do you? Can't you let the past sleep?
Still do anything for Angus, wouldn't you?
Get out of here, Rocky.
Sure, Sabina.
Get out!
I got out. If Sabina was putting on an act, she wasn't doing a good job of it. But I knew my visit with her was a sure way of making Angus show his hand, if he was around. I went back to my Cafe Tambourine. It wasn't yet time for Fader Brahms to show up, so I sat down in my office to try and decide how I could handle him. Hello.
Hello. Is this Mr. Jordan?
Yeah?
Good. I want to speak to you, Mr. Jordan. It's very important.
Who is this?
Oh, yeah. We have never met. My name is Svensson.
Svensson?
Jan Svensson.
Oh, naturally.
Mr. Jordan, I saw you talking to a man named Fader Brahms.
Nice of you to tell me.
I don't know what he offered to pay for information leading to Angus Morgan, but I can guarantee you he will double his price.
I didn't know a dead man was worth so much.
Mr. Jordan, a man does not yoke when he is 40 fathoms under.
Look, drop the salty talk and get to the point, huh?
I am staying at the Hotel Mala, room 6. Will you come see me right away?
How much money did you say?
Sure we can strike a bargain.
And then get ready to bid, Svensson. You got competition. I hung up knowing that Fader Brahms wasn't the only one who'd been following me. Add one Jan Svensson. I figured Fader and his appointment could wait. Two heads were better than one, and if my 15 grand was around, I wanted to be sure of it. The Hotel Malau wasn't far, and I was there in 5 minutes. Room 6 was on the first floor. There was a light on inside the room, and I knocked on Jan Svensson's door. No answer. I tried the door, but it was locked. So I called the hotel manager, and we went in.
Oh, what has happened? That bed does not belong in the center of the room and the dresser, upside down.
Looks like somebody went through here with a bulldozer.
Oh, there has been a fight. But Mr. Svensson's clothes are still here.
Yeah, a few of them.
Yes. Oh, what are these?
Heavy rubber gloves, like a deep sea diver's maybe. Nice and new.
Oh, this is terrible. Dust all over everything.
Yeah, even the phone.
We must call the police.
Yeah, do that. I left the hotel manager wringing his hands and got outside. I checked my watch. It was time for my date with Fader Brahms at the tambourine. And this time I really had some questions. As I turned to go, I felt something tugging at my coattail. It was a small native boy. He handed me a white envelope and dodged away into the crowd. I opened the letter, and it read, Mr. Jordan, before you see Angus, see me. I will meet your price. Signed, Captain Maury. Address, 62 Fernier Road. It looked like time for me to tally the score. First on base was Fader Brahms. Next, Jan Swenson. Now coming up to bat, Captain Maury. I figured that Fader could wait for me at the tambourine, and I caught a taxi to 62 Fernier Road. It had all the earmarks of a sedate rooming house. The skinniest woman I've ever seen opened the door.
I'm Mrs. Phipps. May I help you?
Yes, I'm Rocky Jordan.
Shh! You'll have to keep your voice down. My guests have been asleep for hours.
Oh, sorry. Captain Maury's expecting me.
Captain Maury? You don't say so. Well, I can't imagine...
Look, I got a letter from
him. Shh, please.
I've got to see him tonight.
I'm so angry I could scream. It couldn't have been 10 minutes ago. He skipped out of here bag and package. Out the window, if you please. And not paying me 1 cent for his board and room.
Take his clothes with him?
Yes, everything except these awful rubber boots. Here, you can have them.
Forgot his sea boots, huh? Better give them to the police.
The police will be here. I've already called them.
Oh, just one more thing. What did Captain Maury look like?
Simply horrible. Grotesque and horrible.
Oh, thanks.
Shh.
I left Mrs. Phipps standing there, a big new sea boot in each hand, and moved out onto the dark street. I got to the nearest payphone and called Chris at the tambourine. He said nobody resembling Fader Brahms had made an appearance there. We were both late for our appointment. Well, there was something else in my mind as I left the phone booth. I wondered if my visit with Sabina was going to pay off. And then it did. The shots were wild, and there were holes in the wall all around me. I dropped to the ground, rolled up in a dark corner. The guy with the gun must have thought he got me because he took off down a side street. He was big, but he ran like a scared gazelle. I was up and after him, but when I got to the corner, he was out of sight. I let him go. Anyhow, I had one answer. The seed I had planted with Sabina had finally blossomed.
Rocky Jordan returns in just a moment. On CBS, My Friend Irma is now one of the most popular comedies on the air, and the two characters, Irma and Jane, are familiar to millions. You'll enjoy Irma to her last dumb remark on My Friend Irma, following CBS Radio Theater Monday night. Now, back to Rocky Jordan with tonight's story, Strangers 3.
Angus Morgan was supposed to have died 3 months ago. That's what the record said. But when three men named Fader Brahms, Jan Swenson, and Captain Maury came to Cairo looking for him and said he was alive, I was interested. Angus owed me $15,000, and I like money. My visit with Angus's old girlfriend, Sabina, paid off on the nose. When shots started flying, I knew Angus was close by. Back in Sabina's office, the fellow named Tournier had mentioned the Sharon Sanitarium, and Sabina hadn't covered it too well. So the next day being Sunday, I invested in 12 roses and paid the Sharon a visit. On the third floor, I hit pay dirt. I swung a door open, and there, propped up in bed playing chess with Philip Tournier, was Angus Morgan.
Rocky!
I brought you some flowers, Angus.
Shut the door. How did you find me, Rocky?
The telephone book.
Same old Rocky.
This here your finger man?
Meet Philip Tournier, my bodyguard.
Well, we've already met. Twice.
Twice, Mr. Jordan?
Once at Sabina's and once outside our phone booth. You're a bum shot, Tournier.
I'm afraid you are mistaken.
Skip it. Listen, Angus.
Rocky, how did you know I was still living?
Three men told me.
Three?
Well, count them. Fader Brahms, Jan Swenson, and Captain Maury.
No, they...
You're having a relapse, Angus. Maybe I better call a nurse.
Stop it, Rocky. You say they're alive.
Breathing, too. Right down your thick neck.
They know where I am.
Not yet, Angus. But they're each offering me a few thousand for that information.
I'm beginning to see what you mean. Seems there was a debt.
I'll refresh your memory. $15,000.
Rocky, I'll pay you every cent if you'll promise to leave immediately and forget you've been here.
As far as I'm concerned, Angus, you're resting where you so justly deserve. Got it with you?
Yes. Philip, this is just between Rocky and me. So if you leave the room...
But, Angus, you are sure...
I can trust Rocky. You can get me some cigars while you're out. Go on.
Very well. I will be back shortly.
Well, Rocky, it's been a long time.
The money, Angus, remember?
Very well. Will you hand me that valise on the lower shelf of the cart there?
Oh, sure. Feels loaded.
I'll have a little left. Yeah. Here you are. $15,000. Count it if you like.
Don't worry, I'll be back if it's not all here. Angus, I'm overwhelmed.
You're paid. Just keep your promise and get out.
Sure, I know when I'm not wanted. Just one more thing.
Yes?
Tell Tournier to stop using me for a clay pigeon or I'll have your three friends up here next.
I'm gonna show you, Rocky. You'll never hear from me again.
Angus put his valise back where it was and I got out. I walked slowly down the stairs trying to decide what I was going to tell Fader Brahms. He still hadn't kept his date with me. Well, I had my dough. I promised Angus to keep my mouth shut, and that's the way it was going to be. I just about reached the main floor when Bedlam broke loose. It was coming from the third floor. I raced back up the steps, two at a time. Down the hall, a crowd was gathering in front of Angus Morgan's room. I saw Philip Tournier come out of the elevator when we reached the room together. We pushed through the crowd of Sunday visitors and into the room. And there was Sabina. Sabina, what is it?
Pull yourself together, Sabina. What happened?
I walked into the room and there he was.
There's no doubt about it this time.
Angus is dead. Stabbed to death.
From there on, things moved fast. Sam Sabaya, captain of the Cairo police, took over. A very thorough man, he rounded up everyone connected with the case. Down at headquarters, I was kept cooling my heels while Sam talked to Sabina and Tournier. He called me in last.
Well, Jordan, I'm afraid you have a great deal to explain.
Well, by this time, Sam, I thought you'd have the murder solved.
Jordan, this time, let's get to the point.
I suppose Sabina told you I had it in for Angus Morgan.
That is correct.
And Tournier happened to mention that I threatened Angus.
Just one more thing. In Angus Morgan's room at the sanitarium was a valise containing
$300,000. $300,000?
It is missing. I believe $15,000 of it is in your pocket.
Tournier did talk, didn't he?
May I see it?
Sure.
Thank you.
Hey, what are you doing, Sam? That's my dough.
We shall see. Right now, it is Exhibit A. Where is the rest of the money, Jordan?
How should I know? Well, now, wait, Sam. You don't think...
Would you like to tell me everything now, Jordan?
Of course. I was as sure as anybody else that Angus Morgan was dead. Then people came to me looking for him, said he was alive and in Cairo.
What people?
Well, first a guy in a felt hat and tweeds named Fader Brahms. Then Jan Swenson and Captain Morey. They both skipped out, but I'll give you their former addresses. You better look them up, Sam.
Getting back to Angus Morgan, how did you find him?
Philip Tournier let his whereabouts out of the bag when I went to see Sabina. Oh, by the way, an hour later, somebody tried to kill me. I think it was Tournier. But about that 15 grand, Angus owed it to me.
I will do my best to find the street time you speak of. But, Jordan, the facts remain incriminating.
I was halfway out of the building when the murder took place.
Save that part of your story for the inquest tomorrow. We will notify you of the time.
Okay, Sam, we'll play it your way.
Good night, Jordan.
Good night, Sam. Oh, and by the way, when you give me back my money, I'm going to buy you a present.
Oh? What, Jordan?
A can of oil. Your chair squeaks. I went out into the street, and when the air hit me, I knew I was sweating. If we were all released, that meant Sam was playing cat and mouse with us. And everything pointed in my direction, much too conveniently. I had to act quickly while I still had a few hours of freedom. I had a hunch the police were following me, but I didn't care. I had nothing to hide. Sabina was first on my list. She took my bait once before, and she might again. When I reached Sabina's Turkish bath, she was already there.
Rocky, what are you doing here? Who let you in?
I've got to talk to you.
Haven't you caused enough trouble? Leave me alone.
Who's Fader Brahms? Jan Swenson, Captain Morey.
Why don't you ask Philip Tournay?
I will. Where is he?
He's staying at an apartment over the open-air market on Farran Street.
Oh, thanks. I got a good hunch who killed your boyfriend, Sabina. Maybe you have, too.
Who did it, Rocky?
That's what I gotta find out, Sabina. Or I may be next. I went to the open-air market on Ferran Street. Philip Tournier's room was on the second floor. I knocked. When he finally opened it, he was either out of breath or awfully scared.
Jordan!
I'm coming in, Tournier.
Yes, yes, of course. I thought you were in jail.
Well, weren't we all?
There is a policeman watching my apartment.
Two of them now. One for each of us. All right, start leveling with me, Tournier. You tried to kill me last night, didn't you?
I could have, Rocky, but I shot wild, purposely. I was Angus Morgan's bodyguard, not his finger man.
When did Sabina arrive at the sanitarium Sunday?
I do not know.
You ever hear of Fader Brahms?
Why, I have never seen him.
Well, try these for size. Jan Swenson, Captain Maury.
Angus, Fader, and Swenson hired Captain Maury's boat. They salvaged an army payroll from an American freighter that had been sunk during the war.
Where?
Off the coast of Ras El Had. The four of them were supposed to split the money between them.
Knowing Angus, he changed his mind, wanted all of it.
That is right. After they had hauled up $300,000 of the money, Angus sneaked off the boat, leaving a time bomb behind. Everyone was reported missing at sea, including Angus.
Well, they're not missing now. They're in Cairo.
They will kill me.
Sure, if you took the $300,000.
But I did not. What can I do?
Just sit tight and don't talk to anybody. Especially not to Sabina. Tournier was halfway to his phone before I got out the door, but I didn't mind. At least now I had something to work with, if I could believe anything he said. I went out onto the street wondering if I'd ever see Fader Brahms again, or Svensson, or Captain Maury. Why would anyone kill Angus, take the money, and stay around Cairo for the police to get at? I stood there trying to figure my next move, and then it was figured for me. The door of a car waiting at the curb swung open.
Get in, Jordan.
Fader Brahms. Sure I'm not intruding.
Get in, I said.
Okay. But take that shiny cannon out of my face. It hurts my eyes.
I may have to use it. I want that $300,000, Jordan.
Oh, you haven't got it?
No. And I want every cent of it.
Tell me something, Fader. How did it happen Angus Morgan didn't kill you like he planned?
Perhaps I knew him too well. We were on the salvage boat, all four of us, lying 2 miles offshore. One night I heard a sound, went up on deck, and I heard oars fading into the fog. It was Angus Morgan taking all the money we'd salvaged. Before I could do anything, there was a blast. I came to on a small vessel sailing for East Africa. It took me 2 months to get back. And I've been looking for Angus ever since.
I see.
Now you see why I want that money, Jordan.
Why don't you look up Jan Swenson or Captain Maury? Why pin it on me?
I think you have it. Jordan, I swear I'll kill you right here.
Oh, maybe not after you take a look out the back window.
Where? Black car?
Keep watching it. The police, Fader. They've been tailing me all day.
Perhaps you are not lying.
Now listen to some sense. You want the money. I want to get the guy who killed Angus Morgan to clear myself. We can get him together.
You know who killed Morgan?
Yeah. Captain Maury. I'm sure I saw him at the sanitarium.
Captain Maury. Of course. What's your plan?
Well, first we split up, shake the police off our trails. Meet me at the corner of Sika and El Modar, right by the old tower.
Why there?
I think I know his hideout. You'll be there in 30 minutes.
Very well, Jordan. I will be there.
I waited till Fader Brahms drove off around the corner, and I got to a phone called Sam Sabaya. It wasn't long till Sam's sleepy voice came on.
Sam Sabaya speaking.
Listen, Sam, I think I got your man.
What is this?
Captain Maury. If you'll be at Sika and El Modar in half an hour, I'll produce him.
Jordan, go home and go to bed.
But Sam, listen to me.
But I am glad you called, though. The inquest will be tomorrow at 11. Will you be there or... I send an escort.
Sam, I told you where to be. Now, don't let me down.
Good night, George.
Listen, Sam. Sam! Okay, I'll go it alone. Sam was in no cooperative mood, but it was too late to change my plan now. My watch said 11 o'clock. That meant I had just 12 hours to dig up somebody to take my place at the inquest. I walked the whole way to our rendezvous spot, through the twisting, narrow streets that led to the old tower. I felt familiar, dismal landmark in the lower quarter of Cairo. I finally stopped at the tower. No one was there, but I was a couple of minutes early. Laughter sounded from an upper window across the way. It stopped, a light went out, and all was darkness and quiet. I leaned against the wall and waited. Once I thought I saw a figure in the shadows. I glanced back and it was gone. Those shadows play tricks sometimes. Then I heard it. A quick rustling motion that resolved into a figure as I turned. I felt it coming, but I was too late. Pain stabbed my right shoulder. I tried to move, but the knife had me pinned to the wall. Through a blinding fight to keep my senses, I heard a confusion of sound. Pistol blazed almost in my face. And everything mixed into a whirlpool of shouts and footsteps and went spinning off into nothing. With Rocky Jordan right in the middle.
Rocky Jordan will be back in a matter of seconds with the ending of tonight's story. Here's a mic memo from CBS for Monday night listening. The Foxes of Harrow comes to you Monday night on CBS Radio Theater with lovely Maureen O'Hara and John Hodiak. Don't miss The Foxes of Harrow, CBS Radio Theater, Monday night at 7 in California and 6 elsewhere in the West. Now back to Rocky Jordan for the ending of tonight's story.
When I opened my eyes, the darkness of the night under the old tower had changed to all white. White walls, white sheets, white bedshirt. The sun was coming in the west window, and seated beside my bed, looking me over like a hound looks over a fresh bone, was Sam Sabaya.
Well, Jordan, you missed the inquest.
Oh, you're breaking my heart, Sam. Where am I?
In the Charon Sanitarium.
The Charon again. Why here?
We thought you might feel right at home.
Well, I'm not. Ooh. What happened?
Only a knife wound. Your shoulder will heal. You were more fortunate than Angus Morgan.
Yeah. Then all that shooting was the police. Sam, I thought you weren't coming to the party last night.
Oh, Jordan, you wrong me. Feder Brahms is now in the Cairo jail. A little worse for the wear.
Okay. Now, Sam, when do I get my 15 grand back? Remember, Exhibit A?
Jordan, you promised to lead me to Captain Morey. Where is he?
In jail. Captain Morey, Jan Swenson, Feder Brahms. They're all the same man.
It's no wonder we couldn't find the other two. When did you know this?
I should have known from the beginning. Feder was too elaborate with his plans. I figured he invented the other two to keep me on my toes, make sure I didn't lose interest. And if a murder rap came up, the police would be out looking for Swenson and Morey. Dead men.
But Jordan, that is hardly proof.
No. I wasn't sure until Feder Brahms came to me and demanded the money. I told him to ask Swenson and Captain Morey, but Feder didn't bat an eye. Why? Because he knew they didn't exist.
No doubt they were actually killed in the salvage boat.
Sure. So when I told Feder I'd produce Captain Morey, he knew I was lying. He decided it was time to get rid of me. Just one thing I don't understand. Sam, about my 15,000...
What don't you understand?
Well, if Feder Brahms killed Angus Morgan and took his money, why didn't he get out of Cairo?
Now, very good question, Jordan. Brahms has confessed to the murder, but he did not get the money.
What?
Sabina came into Angus Morgan's room too quickly after the murder. In his haste to escape, Feder left the very thing he was after.
Then he really did think I had it. But where is the money?
But that is a very strange thing, Jordan. After we brought you back here last night, the money was found in the third floor laboratory. How it got there, I don't know.
Sam, of course. Angus set the money satchel on the lower shelf of that little cart the nurses wheel around. It was still there when she wheeled it out.
I see. Perhaps during the confusion after the murder. Well, that about settles everything.
Oh, no, Sam. What about my 15 grand? My dough?
Well, you see, Jordan, there will probably be an estate. You will have to put in a claim for it.
Of all the... Hey, nurse! Nurse!
Jordan, can I get something for you?
Yes, Sam, a first-class lawyer.
Calm yourself, Jordan. You will get your money. You always do.
¶¶ Rocky Jordan is presented from Columbia Square in Hollywood and stars Jack Moyles in the title role. Tonight's story was written by Bernard Girard and was produced and directed by Cliff Howell, with original music by Milton Charles. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Welcome back. Well, we got a reference to Rocky's time in Istanbul. As Andrew pointed out, we were going to get a little while ago. And that's a nice tie-in. The solution wasn't entirely unexpected. I think that there were some definite hints that direction, given just kind of the relative thinness of the other characters who were supposed to be trying to get Rocky's help. All right, well, listener comments and feedback now. And we have this from Bill, who writes on Facebook. Hi, Adam. While it seems like Jack Moyles is trying to do a Bogart imitation in today's episode, this referencing Count Me Out, it sounds like more like Peter Falk. I also got a kick out of the actor doing a bad Peter Lorre imitation. So far, this series has had good stories, but I can't take it seriously. It reminds me of Inspector Thorne. It's supposed to be a drama, but it comes off as either a spoof or an unintentional comedy. Well, thanks so much for the comment. And one thing I guess your comment got me thinking about is the question of what shows are to be taken seriously. Thinking about it, I guess for a show that we do to be taken seriously, I guess that would be that the series has like a great deal of realism, or you really emotionally connect with the characters and stories. And thinking about that, I think the ones that are really realistic and true to life would probably be Dragnet and The Lineup. And the ones where you could have some sort of emotional connection to what's going on. I think Nightbeat, The Adventures of Philip Marlowe, and some episodes of Dragnet. A lot of the early Johnny Dollar stories back during the Bob Bailey era. And I think there are a few episodes of Let George Do It when the series became more detective drama than the detective comedy it started out as. I think most of the rest of the shows that we do, generally the mysteries are just kind of fun, light, and unrealistic. Even the hard-boiled ones are almost over the top in how they approach it. In terms of Rocky Jordan, you'll find episodes of this series that actually borrow from the Jack Webb version of Jeff Regan Investigator, as well as other series, but transplant the stories over to Egypt. But thanks so much for the comment, Bill. And if listeners have got any other shows that they take seriously or don't take seriously that we've done, love to hear from you. You can send the comments to box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives. Become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. And check out our YouTube archive, youtube.greatdetectives.net. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.